that God hates. Look at chapter 6 and verse 16. See it? Chapter 6 and verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. One of them things is not just a thing, it's a person. He that soweth discord, that's somebody that causes problems in a church. Bible said God hated them. You say, God don't hate nobody. Well, the Bible said he did. You say, I thought God loves everybody. He does. Don't you know you can love somebody and hate them too? Are you married? See how quick you understood that just like that. I've had a lot of people tell me, they say, Brother Danny, I just hate him. And I say, well, you love him, don't you? Yes. So you see, it's the way God is. God can do it a lot better than we can. Seven things that God hates. This is stuff like this is what makes people not like the Bible. Stuff like this is what makes the Bible called, these parts of the Bible are called inflammatory. They're called things that cause problems and inciting riots and racial tensions and between the sexes and things like that, all kinds of problems. But verses in the Bible get blamed for stuff like that. But when it's understood and just believed, like it said, the Bible don't cause no problem. Bible's got the answer to the problem. This is what makes people not like the Bible, and they don't want to hear verses like this. Tell you the truth, you don't find many books come out on this. I mean, our bookstore's a little bit different, but you don't go to the average bookstore in the average town and in the malls and places like that, and it says, them Walden books or whatever, some of those famous bookstores, and right out on the front, it don't have a big advertisement saying, get the latest, seven things that God hates. You don't see that. You don't see that. People don't want to hear that. They'll have some romance novel, or they might slide in Rush Limbaugh, or they might put in somebody, you know, a little bit with some conservative ideas every now and then, but they're not going to put one out front called Seven Things God Hates. You won't find this in many, you won't find this on the radio. I mean, you'll never hear Carmen or Amy Grant get to the stage and get her Dove Award, you know, or Sandy Patty or somebody and say, I just want to say there's seven things God hates, people, and I hate every one of them too. See? That ain't going to work. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Nope. You ain't going to hear it. You won't even hear the nasal whiners do that. Ding, 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 ding. These six things doth the Lord hate. Seven are an abomination unto him. You ain't going to hear that. You're not going to hear it. Hey, you'll never see that on the front of an album cover, I promise you that. Here's the latest album for the Christian, the Dove Award Music. Seven Things God Hates. No, you won't see it. They're too narrow-minded, see. You won't see that on a sign or on a television show. You'll never hear Robert Tilton come on and say these seven things God hates, you know. No, it won't work. Let's go over tonight and see what they are. If I've got something in my life God hates, then I want it out, don't you? I don't want to do nothing that God hates. He's my Father. This is Father's Day. You ought to honor Him. Amen. Listen, we're going to talk first tonight. The Bible said God hates a proud look. A proud look. You can read your Bible from one end to the other, and all the way through it, it tells you that God hates pride. God hates pride. God hates pride. God hates any kind of pride. There are lots of different kinds. God hates my pride. God hates your pride. God hates it. He despises it. I'm telling you, it makes him sick when we're filled with pride. Now the Bible said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Amen? He sure does. The Bible teaches us all the way, all the way up through from one end to the other. We love to brag. We love to say, I did this. We love to say, I did that. We love to say this, that, and the other. I thought about a little story there where it's one of those Aesop's fables like, and this frog's trying to get from one swamp to another swamp. And these birds come down there and tell him, they said, now listen here. They said, now all you got to do is hold his stick in your mouth. And we're going to fly with him. I'm going to hold on him. He's going to hold the other end. And we're going to take off flying. And we'll fly you over there to that other swamp. So he said, okay. He got that stick locked in his mouth there, you know. And the birds took off with him flying. Sure enough, there went them two birds flying with each end of that stick in their mouth. And the frog hanging on with his mouth. Just soaring over the trees, going over to the other swamp. And a farmer saw him coming across. He said, that's the most ingenious thing I've ever seen in my life. I can't believe that. And everybody just looking down so proud, you know. And the farmer said, who thought of that? And the frog just couldn't stand it. He said, I did. That was the end of him. I mean, down he went, boy. Bow. Just like that. See, splattered. You know why? He just had to say it. He just had to tell it. That's the way a lot of people are. That's the way we are. We get filled with pride. As a young preacher one time got up to preach. And a young preacher, boy, he had just graduated from the cemetery. And he had his degree. And boy, he was all ready to preach. He knew it all. He knew all the doctrine. He knew everything. He was going to be the greatest preacher that had ever been. He got up to preach that night. You ought to have saw him. He'd already learned this ministerial walk, you know, how preachers are supposed to walk like this and carry your Bible like this. And he just, you know, he come walking up to the platform like this. He looked around to that crowd and he said, it's so nice to have you. I mean, you know, they teach you all how to do. You're not supposed to point your fingers. You're not supposed to move around like I do. You know, you're supposed to stand right here. And you're supposed to not raise your voice and all that stuff. He had it all figured out how he was going to preach. And boy, he started preaching. He couldn't remember nothing. He couldn't say nothing. He made a flop. He made an absolute flop of what he was doing. The boy messed up. I mean, he stammered around there and stuttered and couldn't get his sentences out. And finally, he just hung his head and he said, folks, I'm sorry. I thought I could preach, but I can't. He said, I'm just humiliated. I made a fool out of myself. Pray for me. He got his Bible and just went down the steps, walking down with his head out the door like that. There's an old man sitting near the back of the church that day. And as that old young preacher went out with his head hung, the old timer reached up and grabbed him, kind of pulled on his shirt tail there. And the boy leaned over and he said, young man, he said, if you would have went up like you came down, you could have came down like you went up. And what he meant was, everybody, if you'd have went up with that attitude of I'm nothing, I'm a dog, I can do nothing, then God would have blessed him and used him. But the Bible says that God hates pride. Amen? All you kids that go to high school, did you know God hates pride? Did you know God hates it when somebody comes walking in like, here I am. I mean, everybody see me. I mean, did you know God hates it?
Yeah.
He hates it when you think you're hot stuff. He does. You know, like that one woman, she kept looking at herself in the mirror, and she kept looking at herself and looking at herself, and she just kept primping and primping, and she said, I'm just so beautiful. I'm just so beautiful. She said, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I think I'm having a hard time with pride. I just think I'm so pretty. And he said, sister, that ain't pride. That's your imagination. That's your problem. Amen? I tell you what, brother, the devil's very smart. You know what? Somebody will brag on you and it'll go to your head and then you'll get thinking you're something big. You'll get thinking you're something special. You'll get to thinking you're a little more spiritual or a little better than somebody else. I got news for you tonight. Don't you ever get the idea that you're a little up here and everybody else is down here, because God will knock your feet right out from under you. The Lord will let you hit bottom. I'll guarantee you. God has ways of bam, making you fall right on your face. I tell you what, it's pitiful when somebody else do that in public. But it happens many, many, many times. I heard about this preacher one time. He was preaching a funeral. I don't know if it's pride that caused this, but it was awful, really. He was his first funeral. He wanted to make sure he done everything right. You know, you're supposed to be have everything just right at a funeral. And he had one of these minister's manuals, and he was leading the procession, you know, going out there, and he had on this real light-colored Panama suit. It's down in Florida. It was real hot, just an old, bad, rainy day, and everybody had umbrellas, you know, and everything. He was leading them up through there like this, you know, and he was saying the word, and he got up there, and he slid and fell in the grave. That'd be awful. That would be awful. Now imagine this. Everybody's standing around there. Here's the preacher down in the grave with mud. I mean, trying to climb up. I mean, I'd have crawled out, wouldn't you? But God's got ways of letting stuff like that happen to you. One time they said one, you know, they got these enclosed baptistries, and one of them was getting ready to have a baptism, and the preacher was up there in a certain stage of undress. I mean, he wasn't completely naked, I don't reckon, but I mean, he was changing clothes, and somebody flopped the curtains open, and there stood the preacher. And so he didn't know what to do. And just dove into the pool like that. That'd be horrible. You know what? God's got ways of knocking you down, brother. God's got ways of just letting your feet go right from under you. That's what happened to old Tonya Harding. See? Might be what happened to O.J. Simpson. I don't know. There's a lot more than that happened to him. But I'll tell you what, the devil is smart. And by the way, you say, well, Brother Danny, you're preaching on one sin that I'm not guilty of. Hallelujah. I'm humble. No, you're full of pride. The devil's smart. He'll make you proud that you're not proud. You'll go around saying, I'm humbler than anybody. I'm the most humble one in the church. I know I am. I don't know anybody that's more humble than me. I let them run over me. I let people take advantage of me. I keep the nursery when it's not my turn. I go out of my way to make people, I'm more humble than anybody in the church. No, you're filled with pride and you need to get right with the Lord. Amen? If you think you're it, look at the want ads in the paper sometime and start looking at all the jobs that you're not qualified to do. That'll knock you down a notch or two. They say God crowns with mercy, but His crown won't fit a swollen head. God hates pride. God hates pride. Bible said He hates a proud look. But then secondly tonight, Bible says God hates a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. You hear me? I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It's always wrong to lie. It's a sin to tell a lie. Sin to tell a white lie. Sin to tell a brown lie. Sin to tell a black lie. Sin to any kind of lie is wicked. Any kind of lie is wicked. It's all. You know what? We're living in a day when people say, well, just to keep from hurting their feelings, I just tell you, I lied to them. Well, I reckon, you know, you next to keep from hurting somebody's feelings, I'll rob a bank. See, or I'll murder somebody. See, it's a lie. It's a lie. If there's anything that's sickening in the sight of God, it's a liar. I know parents that can't believe a word their kids say. Have you ever caught your kids in a lie? Now, I know my kids, here's what my kids will do. They'll dodge it all they can. Ain't that right? Well, now, come on now. Well, now, how was it? Look me right in the eye and tell me. Boy, when it comes right down to it, look at me in the eye and tell me, I'll say, I'll kill you if you lie to me. Brother, I'd rather them own up to doing what they've done wrong than to have a stinking old lie about it. Amen? Don't lie! Don't lie! You say, boy, if I told my mom and daddy the truth, they'd kill me. Well, straighten up your act and get right with God so you can tell them the truth and straighten up and realize that God hates your tongue, brother. He hates your tongue. Some people are chronic liars. Every time you're around them, they're telling you about these great and wonderful things they do. But you never see them, you know. Bible said your tongue is full of deadly poison. It's like a serpent. You can tell, they say a lie will travel around the world before truth gets its boots on. That's why the Bible tells us that we're supposed to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth. Everything you tell somebody ought to be the truth. If your boss man asks you what time you got to work, and it's 7:02, don't say 7 o'clock or you're a liar. Say, I got here 7:02. Say, he'll dock me 15 minutes. Yeah, but God will bless you for telling the truth. You know, there's lots of ways you can lie. They don't have to come out of here. I believe the devil sometimes, and maybe even the Lord, just lets stuff like this happen to Christians. I mean, it never happened to me before I got saved. But now since I've been saved, it happens a lot. You go somewhere to eat or something and they'll give you way too much change back. Has that ever happened to you? You give them $5 or something and your meal's $3 or whatever, your hamburger or whatever, and they count you back $17. And the devil says, ha, 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 ha. You've been blessed today? And you say, no, this ain't no blessing. That ain't a blessing from the Lord. The Lord didn't have nothing to do with that. That's a test to see what you'll do about it. Take it back in there, lay it down and say, hey, you gave me too much money. Then witness to them. That'll blow their mind. I'll guarantee you that. That'll blow their mind. I promise you. Brother, I'll tell you what. If there's anything God hates, it is a lying tongue. It's a lying tongue. And I believe we need to use our tongue for the glory of God and not worry about other people and other people's lives. Keep your tongue off other people's lives and off their business. Amen? You say, well, I heard. Well, you might need to put up a no dumping sign over your ears. And say, hey, I've got a 24-hour day job keeping myself straightened out without nosing in everybody else in the world's business. I think some Christians ought to start them a Christian tabloid. And just, you know, like the Inquirer, the Christian Inquirer, that'd be a good name for it. Have you heard all the gossip about this, about that, about the other? God hates a lying tongue. One time D.L. Moody preached a sermon, and D.L. Moody wasn't really a very educated preacher, but he's a great preacher. And there's a real dignified lady come up to him one time after he got through preaching. She said, preacher, I want you to know that I counted about something like 12 grammatical errors in your sermon tonight. You just ruined the English language. And he stuck out his tongue, held on her hat. He said, man, you see that thing right there? He said, I'm using that for the glory of God. What are you using yours for? Amen. Amen. That means shut your big lying mouth. Yeah. And say, and talk for the Lord. Number three, Bible says that God hates hands that shed innocent blood. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Now, there's all kinds of implications here. And this is, of course, people murdering the innocent, people murdering those that can't defend themselves, people like over there in Bosnia and all these countries where little kids are just being slaughtered by the millions, Saddam Hussein, his wicked thing. All kinds of things fall under this category. Hands that shed innocent blood would be the man who sells the liquor or the wine or the beer. The man who sells the drug to the kid who winds up in the car wreck being killed. Amen? By the way, I want to say this tonight. A Christian has no business working in a place selling alcoholic beverages. Amen? You say, well, Brother Danny, I have no choice. Yeah, you've got choices. You've got choice. I'll find me somewhere else to work. Man, I don't want to work in a place where they sell booze. If you work, you know, if you have, there might be circumstances that, and I'm not stupid, I understand that. But boy, if I was one of these cash registers, man, and I had to put that stuff in bags and take people's money, I mean, you ought to tell them, this will kill you, this will wind you up more trouble than you'll ever get out of. Amen. Hands that shed innocent blood. You know what? You know what there's going to be? Every doctor who's ever, you listen to me? Every doctor who's ever performed an abortion on any woman will stand in front of God with that baby's blood dripping off their hand, guilty of murder. Murder. Every girl who snuck off from Marion and went to Asheville and let a doctor kill her baby and paid money for it will be guilty of murder at the judgment day. Murder! I said murder! Just like O.J. Simpson was. And, you know, instead of fussing about him, they ought to go get all the abortion doctors and lock them up and put them in jail. They're murderers! Shedding innocent blood. You say, now, Brother Danny, I don't know if I agree with you. What about all these unwanted babies? Listen, dumbhead. There's people standing in line wanting babies. I know people that would give anything for a baby. They've been on a waiting list forever. Christian couples who won't. If that girl's not able to raise it, she needs to give it to a Christian couple. Not kill it. Killing's wrong. That's shedding innocent blood. If there's ever an application of that verse right there, buddy, it's abortion. Yeah. It's innocent blood. Number four, look at this. God hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. God hates somebody's heart that sits around and just thinks up wickedness. Buddy, we're according to that, son, there's a lot of people got a heart that God hates. Buddy, we're living in a day when people are imagining wicked imaginations. I'm talking about just little things. By the way, you know, I cut up. I go, you know, I think good, clean fun, goofing off a little bit is all right. But you know, the Bible warns about foolish jesting. And the Bible warns about, you know, you can carry a practical joke too far. You know what I mean? I heard about some guys at some kind of camp one time, and they was playing a joke on somebody. This man was asleep. They hooked an air hose, got it in his clothes, put it down like in his shirt. And then they went in there and screamed, woke him up, turned the air on, and the air pressure got around there, and it blew up like a balloon and crushed him and killed him. And it was a joke. It started out as a practical joke. Turned in, or the man was dead. Another bunch of boys went out one night out on the highway. They thought they'd play a trick on somebody. They took a stop sign down off the highway. Here come a car flying down the road. Here come this way. Saw no stop sign. Went right through the intersection. Cut another car sideways. Killed some teenagers and a little child. That's not funny. That's not funny. Wicked imaginations. You know, the people that's got the most wicked imagination are the people that make pornography and the people that make the videos that you see on MTV. No parent should allow their child to watch MTV. Amen? If you can't control your kid no more than that, come tell me and I'll sneak over to your house and clip that wire or unhook that cable or tear down that antenna. No kid needs to be watching MTV! Say, Brother Danny, they got to know sooner or later. No, they don't have to know. That's the most wicked, vile thing you can expose them to. It's against women. All you girls ought to hate it because they treat you like dirt. You are a fool in the videos on MTV. You girls are just made trash. That's what they think of you. That's what Metallica and Bon Jovi and old David Lee Roth and people like that, they want you to think of you girls. They think you're trash. Because that's how they use you. That's how they want. And you get mad at me for preaching about it. And I'm your friend because I want to help you. And you're deceived by them just because you like it. Something wrong. There's something wrong. There's something wrong with all you young girls in here tonight that like raw jungle music. Something wrong with you. Your heart's messed up, kid. Something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. In Sweden tonight, which they're trying to make America like, over 90% of the young men and young women are not virgins when they're married. They are breaking into churches in America now, tying up churches, holding black masses, signing the guest register. Satan has been here. But do you know the leading album in America right now, group right ahead of the one I use in my rock presentation? What's them guys' name? Nine Inch Nails and all of them guys is Pantera and a group called Deicide. And the leader of those groups said, had all these things, pentagrams tattooed on them, things like that. And the leader said, I just want to show Lucifer that I'm serious. I want him to know that I'm serious about serving him. That's the most popular album in America right now. Right now. Buddy, you don't think we're in trouble? A heart that devises wicked imaginations. You'll have a part in that if you sympathize with this ungodly world. I heard about two little boys, 7 and 9 years old, took a little girl, raped her, killed her, 7 and 9 years old now. These boys killed a little girl and raped her. They didn't even know what they was doing. They'd been looking at their parents' pornography books. And getting the ideas from them. Every girl that poses for Playboy, every girl that poses for a penthouse or any, plays in any movie, you say, you know, old sluts, old Hollywood sluts, like old Demi Moore and people like that, just sleaze, man. Them people's trash. People's trash. When you will get in front of a camera and strip your clothes off and show your naked body to millions of people, son, you're a lowlife. You're a lowlife. You say, boy, for enough money I'd do it. You're a lowlife. You say, I don't like this kind of preaching. Well, I know. That's why I do it, because you need a good dose of it. I ain't never coming back. I know I'm going to load your wagon tonight. You probably won't. We've had lots of people come here and never came back. You know why? Because you ain't got the guts to face the truth. Hey, you're just a wimp. You don't have enough guts. I said, boy, you talk a little awful big for a little guy. Dynamite comes in little packages. If you don't like it, see me over at my office after the service and Ray will meet you there. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Amen. That's why you ought to be decent. Did you know? We tell our kids here to dress decent, do all that stuff, and people think we're crazy. People call us legalists. People call us overboard. That church is too strict. That shows how far we've got away from the Bible, God's Word. Sinners had more decency 100 years ago than the average church member does tonight. You know it's the truth. Number 5, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Now what's that? God hates somebody's feet. That's what he says. Busybodies. Let's go see what's going on. Did you hear about it? There's a fight. Let's go. See, that's what God hates. God hates people that always run and get in the middle of everything. They got to stick their nose in and their 2 cents worth. You know what the Lord's saying there? He's saying just mind your own business. Amen. I had a preacher who preached a sermon the other day. I'd like to preach on it sometime. And the preacher, the name of the message was, "What's It to You?" That'd be a good title for a message, wouldn't it? What's it to you, man? Everybody's worried about it, so. And you use that scripture over there where Peter and John was over there, and Peter was asking the Lord. The Lord was saying, "Now, Peter, you need to do this, and Peter, you need to do that." And Peter said, "Well, what will John do? What about John, Lord? Talk to him." And the Lord said, "If I will that he tarry, you come. What's that? It ain't none of your business, Peter. You follow me." And he used that as a text and preached on, what's it to you? What's it to you anyway? "Well, Brother Danny, I heard it so and so." Well, what's it to you, man? Ain't you got a life? Ain't you got a 24-hour day job keeping yourself straightened out? Yes, sir, you sure do. Amen, amen. You keep the sin out of your life, and then you might be able to help somebody else. That's what preaching's for. Busy people have no time to be busy bodies. Number 6. I could elaborate on all that a little bit, but I'll move on. A false witness that speaketh lies. This is a little bit different than a lying tongue. This is somebody who protects the guilty and destroys the innocent. It's somebody who sits in a courtroom and tells a lie when they know the person's guilty to try to keep them from being sent off or going to jail or something like that. I've had lots of guys. I had a guy chase me down one time. He's brought up on some drug charges. And he said, "Danny, will you come to court and testify for me?" I said, "Well, I mean, I'll be glad to help you any way I can, but what could I say that would help you?" He said, "I don't know. If you'd just come and be a witness for me and everything." I said, "Well, you're guilty, man. You're guilty. I'm not going to get up there and tell them you're not guilty. I'm going to tell them the truth." He thought, since I was a preacher, maybe that I might try to get him out of trouble and things. I said, "Listen, I'll get up there and say whatever they ask me, but it's going to be the truth. I might make him worse. I mean, they might do you worse time I get through being your character witness. I get up there and say, 'Yes, sir, he did it,' and anybody that sells drugs ought to be sent off." And I believe that. Anybody that sells drugs ought to be sent off. First offense. Amen. We'll never stop it in this country till we get stricter and have some laws passed against it. I heard some ignorant people up in New York not long ago. They said, instead of building prisons, we need to build schools. I tell you, buddy. I mean, these people are out running around loose that teach this kind of stuff. You say, "Well, prisoners ain't doing no good." Prison ain't, well, it may not. School sure ain't going to change them. school sure ain't going to make them straighten up and tell the truth and quit selling dope. They think that the reason people sell drugs is because they haven't had a fair chance in life. That's what they think. That's a bunch of bull, man. People sell drugs because they have a sinful nature, and this is a shortcut to get some easy money. It's sin that makes people do that. It ain't got nothing to do with your upbringing. Well, a false witness that speaketh lies. It's easier to believe a lie you've heard of times than the truth that you've never heard. Do you know that? Number 7. He that soweth discord among brethren. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, talks a lot in different books in the Bible, about people who sow seeds of antagonism and suspicion among people. And it's very, very, very dangerous to do that. I was talking about selling drugs. I'd rather be a drug dealer at the judgment day than somebody that went around causing trouble in God's church. I really would. See, if you cause trouble in a church, you're doing damage direct to the body of Jesus Christ. That'd be awful. That'd be a charge and a hike, buddy. That's why when something comes up in a church, listen, I'm the pastor, so I got to deal with it. See, I'm in the middle of it, like it or not. But if I was you people, let me give you some advice. Let me give you a little advice tonight. Anytime an issue comes up in the church that's bad or controversial or anything like that, you know what your best bet is? Just stay out of it.
Amen.
Stay out of it. Because just as sure as you get over at so-and-so's house and start talking about this and so on, God will take care of this. I don't want to hear no junk. I'm here to worship and get my soul fed and bring my kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm not getting drawn into little gossip at somebody's house after service. I'm not going to go to McDonald's, or I'm not going to go over here in the corner, or I'm not going to go over here and run so-and-so down or talk about somebody else. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let... Now, that's a temptation that some of you are going to really have to pray about, but just refuse to be drawn into it. Keep your nose clean, because you will have to give an account to God for everything you say. Some people just love to hear something so they can get on the telephone and tell somebody else and tell somebody else and tell somebody else. They feel like it's my duty to inform the whole church. No, it's not. It's your duty to shut up. He that soweth discord among the brethren. I've given you the illustration before about Brother Bob. That's just an imaginary character, Brother Bob. I always call him Bob. I don't know why. But let's say Bob's in a little church. Bob sings in the quartet. And you see old Bob, it's getting late time of year, and old Bob's getting ready to buy his kids something real nice for Christmas, and he's working overtime. And so old Bob, boy, he's coming home from work late a few evenings where he had to work overtime, and he's... You know, he's just wore out and sweaty, and he's, you know, he's all kind of just wore out like that, and he's got his coat hanging over him like this, you know, and he's just walking home like this up the road. Just wore out. I mean, boy, he's just coming home like this. Well, it just so happens that old Sister Suspicion is sitting on her front porch, rocking in her rocking chair. She's got a big stack of magazines over here. Yeah. Them magazines, they have names like True Secret. It ain't true.
Yeah.
And it sure ain't secret. Everybody and their brother knows all about it. Modern Confessions. And they always got some woman on the front like, yeah, and a man with a knife, you know, filling her mind with that kind of trash. Just filth. Now, listen, you women have a perverted mind if you love to read something about, oh, my husband made love to my next door neighbor 2 nights after our wedding. You pervert, you. Throw that stuff in the trash. Lordy mercy, lady. It ain't no wonder your marriage ain't no good. Get that trash out. You say, I've never in my life heard a preacher talk like this. Well, I don't know if I have either, but brother, it just pops in my head. Whatever will pop in my head, I'm going to say it. I don't know what you're supposed to say and what you ain't supposed to, so I'm just going to say it anyway. Man, I know one thing. There's something wrong with you if you want to feed your mind on that kind of stuff. Lord, she's been in there all day long watching as the stomach turns. The altar's open for any lady in here who spends her time watching filthy soap operas. I said, Phil, you say I just watch the clean ones. Well, glory to God, you don't watch none. I'm glad you just watch the clean ones. That means none. All they are in there is a bunch of adulterers and drinking alcohol and cussing. If you had that little pretty boy on there, you couldn't trust him out the door. And you, hey, his hands are probably softer than one of these little babies around here. Yeah. Ain't never done a day's work in his life. Got on more makeup than you do. Earrings, necklaces, and everything else. What's the matter with you liking somebody like that? Yeah. Now, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, Bob, before you interrupted me. Sister Suspicion sitting on her front porch, rocking in her rocking chair. She's reading. She sees Bob walking up the road. Oh. Yep. Wouldn't doubt it a bit. Everybody's doing it nowadays. She goes in the house, gets on the telephone. She calls up Sister Exaggerator. Sister, I just want you to help me pray about something. Pray my foot. Will you please help me pray? Will you pray? Now I'm going to tell you something. You've got to promise not to tell nobody. Because I don't really know that anything's going on. The other sister exaggerated going, what? 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 Tell me. She says, maybe I shouldn't say that. Well, tell me now. Yeah, let me help you pray. She don't worry about having you pray. She's just dying to know it. Well, honest, I'm not throwing any accusations or anything like that, but it's Bob. On the other end, I knew it! I knew it! I knew that he'd been acting funny. She said, now I'm not saying he's doing anything wrong, but you know, he's been coming home late a lot lately. And Lord knows I wouldn't accuse him of nothing. No, God forbid that I should bring an accusation against my brother. But you know, we are our brother's keeper. And it's our job if we see something wrong in somebody's life to rebuke them. I think about poor old Mary, his wife at home, bless her heart. Wouldn't it be awful? And you know that Bob, he does kind of think he's something. Wouldn't doubt a bit now. I'm not saying he's having an affair or nothing, but, well, just help me pray. And she hangs up. By the time Sister Exaggerator gets through with that thing, it's spread all over the whole church. And everybody in there thinks Bob's having an affair. Poor Bob just trying to make a living, work, pay for his kids something for Christmas. Bob gets up there on Sunday morning, the preacher says, Brother Bob, would the quartet come and sing, please? Oh, it kills that service. Every woman in the church's head drops. They look around, how could the preacher even call on them to sing? Don't he have no discernment? The truth is, that church has been destroyed by one person just spreading that poison. Spreading that poison. Spreading that poison. Now, I've always believed this. If you've got something to say to somebody, you tell them to their face. Amen? And if you ain't man enough to say it to the face, shut up. Just shut up. That's right. That's right. That's right. There's no way I'd tell them. Well, hush then. You're sowing discord among the brethren. I mean, any of us can do this. Any of me, you. First thing you know, boy, you'd say something that hurts somebody's reputation or their character or their testimony just like that if you're not real careful. The Bible said God hates it. God hates it. I heard about a fellow who one downtown little old country church, and he was trying to shut the church down. He put padlocks on the church. And son, they buried him and had his funeral when they cut them padlocks off. I heard about a man one time that's fussing because there's such a big crowd in church, like we have here at youth rally and stuff like that. And he was fussing. He said, I don't like this. I can't even move my arms in here.
and went out that week and broke both his arms. That's right. That's right, brother. God can't stand somebody just causing trouble in his church. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Now tonight, you've heard the message on seven things that God hates. If you've been convicted, I don't see how anybody can sit here through all of this and something not hit you a little bit somewhere. You don't have to tell your neighbor, you don't have to tell me, but you come down here and tell God, Lord, help me to work on that area in my life. Lord, forgive me of this or that. And that's what preaching's for, to help us get closer to God. It's not to entertain you, it's to help you to get closer to God. You need to come. You need to get something right? Come and get it right. That's right. They're coming, folks coming from all over the building right now. Many, many's coming right now. Just come on. Come on, Daddy. Come on, Mama. Brother, sister, young person, teenager, young lady. Come on. Come on. Get it right with the Lord. Get it right with the Lord. He'll bless you for it. Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done in our lives and our hearts tonight. Bless now the invitation.